You're listening to Insight on Capital Public Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. Dr. Ernesto Ciroli has been helping entrepreneurs since the 1970s. But with this TED Talk, which is titled, "Want to Help Someone? Shut Up and Listen," he went viral. Here's a sample of it.
There is a problem with community meetings. Entrepreneurs never come. And they never tell you in a public meeting what they want to do with their own money, what opportunity they have identified. So planning has this blind spot. The smartest people in your community, you don't even know because they don't come to your public meetings.
Dr. Ciroli is Italian. He's from a long line of family doctors. He and his family settled in Sacramento about 10 years ago, but he travels the world helping small business owners launch their dreams. Ernesto, it's great to have you in the studio.
Hi, Beth.
Welcome to Insight.
Thank you.
So the TED Talk was really the tipping point for work that you had been doing for decades, and it came unexpectedly, didn't it?
Yeah, it's one of those things that you can never, ever, ever expect because you cannot offer yourself to give a TED Talk. You have to be invited. And in my case, I was invited to give a TED Talk in Christchurch, New Zealand. New Zealand, the city of Christchurch, has been destroyed twice by earthquakes. Level 9 on the Richter scale, so it was a total destruction. And 1 year later, they had yet another massive earthquake. So the people in Christchurch discovered my work. They invited me. I gave a TED Talk there. And then TED headquarters in New York picked the talk. And one day I was in a remote part of Australia, Tasmania, doing some work, community work. And my inbox was full of emails from one day to the other day. And I'm saying, what has happened? And then we heard that was has gone viral, and it's now 1.25 million, viewers, just on one blog, the TED site. But there are so many other blogs, and so we are receiving now requests for conferences, for talks, but also for help from many, many young entrepreneurs, and it's been really fantastic.
The work you do, and we'll talk about it in a moment, called enterprise facilitation, is much more than the TED Talk. It's a whole approach to generating the passion in a community for the resources that are there within the people. But it's not that much different from what you learned, as I mentioned, in the 1970s.
It is actually the consequence, the direct consequence, because what happened to me was I had this extraordinary experience in Africa. I was a volunteer with an Italian NGO in the 70s, and my first project was to try to teach the Zambian people how to grow food.
Tomatoes.
And so, tomatoes, zucchini, everything, you know, Italian horticulture. And we arrived in this village in Zambia, and we were amazed that the land was so nice, but they were not growing anything. So we said, okay, now we're going to teach them how to grow these beautiful tomatoes and zucchini and so on. And we planted by this massive, beautiful river, the Zambezi. And the Zambians would do anything we would tell them. We would pay them. They would do anything without questioning. And as soon as the tomatoes were beautiful, nice, and ripe, overnight, 250 hippos came out of the river and they ate everything. and then we were horrified. And we said to the Zambian, "Did you know about the hippos?" And they said, "Yes, that's why we have no agriculture here. Why didn't you tell us?" Well, you never asked. So what happened was realizing how arrogant and how silly we are. We go around the world. We're not even asking the native people what is the real problem there. And so my life changed after 5 or 6 years in Africa. And I started to realize that maybe we should shut up and listen to what the local people really need and want, and see whether we can become servants of that passion. Because you see, there is passion. There is no geography to intelligence. There is no geography to passion everywhere in the world. If you shut up and you make friends, you're going to discover the beauty, the imagination, the intelligence of local people. So why don't we find out how come they cannot progress their passion into making a living instead of trying to give them the ideas?
The title of the TED Talk is easy to remember. At least if you remember Shut Up and Ernesto, yes. You're going to find it. The first book was titled Ripples from the Zambezi, based on the story you just told. And the ripples were what?
The ripples was, first of all, we saw ripples in the water, and they were the hippos. But the ripples is being what has happened since with that simple idea of responding to the local passion instead of imposing top-down our own ideas for the development of local communities. And now what we are discovering is that corporations, mining companies, governments, they want to learn this technique because they realize that imposing your own idea when you arrive somewhere is actually very, very counterproductive. If you can have the respect for local people, and if you can create a way for local people to come to you to tell what they individually want to do, then you can set up an enterprise facilitation program where you start to work one passionate person at a time. And the results now for the last 30 years have been amazing. 300 communities around the world. We have discovered from South Dakota to the Congo, to the DRC in the Congo, that no matter how small, no matter how poor, intelligent or intelligence exists everywhere, passion exists, but sometimes what is lacking is the know-how to take the passion to fruition.
You're listening to Dr. Ernesto Ciroli. I mentioned his first book. His most recent book is titled How to Start a Business and Ignite Your Life. You and I have known each other for a number of years, so I've heard often about your three-point centerpiece of enterprise facilitation. But if you could sum it up, because it is simple, but anybody that runs a business is going to know immediately whether their formula matches this or not.
Yes. What we have discovered is that we can never, ever find a single human being who is passionate about producing the product, selling it, and look after the money. So it is the most extraordinary thing. We have reviewed the biographies of the most successful entrepreneurs in the world, from Carnegie to Edison to Ford to Buffett to Gates and to Steve Jobs. And what we have discovered is that the people who have successfully establish huge companies, they have done it with the help of somebody else. In other words, there was always more than one person starting successful enterprises, because psychologically it is impossible to have a brain who conceived a beautiful product or a beautiful new service, who then has the personality to go out and sell it, who then has the personality to spend hours in solitude behind the computer screen to balance the books. Such personality we have never encountered in the biographies of successful entrepreneurs. They were only good at doing certain things, but they surrounded themselves with friends, companions, partners, spouses who could do what they, the entrepreneur, could not do.
Now, somebody might be good at two of those things. You might be very good at the product and the financials.
Yes, we have met people who have a brain that can be the more organized brain. We have found that farmers, for instance, they're very technically minded. So some farmers are very good at doing both the product development and the books. But then you ask them to go and market their crops, and that kind of personality is not particularly good. The most beautiful example is Richard Branson. Richard Branson is very well known in England as the prototypical entrepreneur, the genius who mm-hmm. apparently can do everything. And what we have been doing, we have been giving children, 16 years old teenagers, the first two pages of Richard Branson's autobiography, and we ask the teenagers to underline in Richard Branson's own words how many times he uses the word I and how many times he uses the word we in describing his company, is the development of his first company. Mm-hmm. Never the word I and the word we 32 mm-hmm. times in the first two pages. And the teenagers are transfixed because they thought that he was this genius who could do everything, discovering that he had to ask his mother for help and then his best mate for help. He came to a very reassuring shock. In other words, I don't have to be a genius to start a company. I have to surround myself with people who can do beautifully what I cannot do.
The concept of listening allows you to have people announce to you where they need the help and
Absolutely.
What to do with their ideas
Absolutely.
And retain the passion. And then this how-to formula has helped you teach other people how to help themselves and take the message around the world. You just mentioned teenagers, and I'm interested in what you're observing about this millennial generation.
Oh, they are the people who get in touch with us, the millennials who get in touch with us right now. They are this extraordinary generation. They want to do well, but they want to do good at the same time. So if there is a catchphrase, they want to do good and they want to do well.
What's the difference?
And the difference is that they not only they want to make money, but they want to have a very fulfilling life. Mm-hmm. And they want to be of service. They want to return. They want to become engaged with the world. So doing good and doing well means that you have to match your own passion for people, passion for humanity, passion for the environment with a way of making a living. And so they come to me to say, where can we go and be of service? And when can we learn how to be both financially successful, but also very ethically successful? This is a generation full of values. And guess who has created this young generation? We have been teaching them environmental, social awareness, racial awareness, gender awareness. We have created these wonderful kids who are better than us.
And yet we're impatient for them to get on with it, aren't we?
We are very, very impatient, but at the same time, we should celebrate the fact that for them, greed is not good, that there are many, many, many ways to become useful in society. And as this great philosopher, Oriental philosopher once said, and this is Rumi once says that there are millions of ways to kneel in front of the sun. And I really think that that's what we should be happy with. Our kids have values. They are beautiful kids. Let's find ways and let's advise, let's work with them to find ways to do good and do well.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Let's continue this conversation at another time when you've landed back in Sacramento for a while.
Well, maybe we celebrate 2 million viewers, okay?
Okay. That's Dr. Ernesto Ciroli, and we have linked his TED Talk to our website as well as information about his books. You are listening to Insight on Capital Public Radio. Here's a little more, by the way, from Dr. Ciroli's TED Talk.
The passion that the person has for her own growth is the most important thing. The passion that the man has for his own personal growth is the most important thing. And then we help them to go and find the knowledge, because nobody in the world can succeed alone.